This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for all your great comments on Apple regarding Spits and Suds. And one of the great comments that you leave is our insiders that join us on Spits and Suds. And we are so glad to have our NHL and Spits and Suds insider join us, Sean Shapiro of EP Ringside. You have to read his Substack. It's called Shap Shots. He stars in the movie, The Late Game Movie, which you can catch on Amazon. He's the guy playing the goalie and the straight man, so to speak. So some really funny moments in that program. Sean, what am I missing? There's so many things that you do.
I do have a movie update. So we've okay. got, and you can still, it's still on Amazon and other platforms as well, but we actually just worked out a deal with a platform called Fossum. I don't know if anyone knows what that platform is. We're now part of their actual free streaming platform. So if you go to, the name of the streaming service is called Fossum F. It's basically awesome with an F in the front of it. And if you go there, you can now stream The Late Game for free on there. And that's still,
wow.
That still helps our bottom line and everything. We worked out a streaming deal with them as well. So, Amazon, Apple TV, all those as well, if you want to go own your own copy. But if you just want to stream it, it's now available. You can go to, it's on Fossum TV. You can go check it out there. And so I'm pretty excited about that deal that we recently worked out there.
Well, let's start with your Shap Shots. Terrific article today. You had a chance to sit down with a very popular former star who every time he shows up to games, it seems as though the stars tip one in, Joe Pavelski.
Yeah, I caught up with Joe on the phone today, actually. It was, I know he's been bopping around back and forth from Dallas he's been in Dallas. He's living back in Wisconsin now, but he's made a couple appearances in Dallas and here and there. And yeah, I gave him a call just today because I wanted to, this past weekend, there was the, and I want to make sure I got the name of the tournament.
Tournament of Champions, LPGA.
Yeah, the Tournament of Champions down in Orlando. And he won the celebrity tournament, which
great
is,
win.
He won that, and it's his first kind of quote unquote professional win. Like, he's not a professional golfer officially or anything like that, but he won a tournament that he won $100,000. I mean, the winner took home a $100,000 check. So that's, to me, that means he won a tournament, was paid to play golf to do it. So that's more than most will ever do in their life. And
yep.
So it's, so yeah, that was, so I caught up with Joe today, and he's, the golf thing is not a surprise. Like, we all know that he is a, we all know that Joe is an avid golfer. He's one of the, he was all frequently voted one of the best golfers in the NHL. Many of the stars players golf and during the season, and Joe Pavelski is the best at it. He had finished second, and there's the American Century Golf Championship,
yeah,
which takes place every year in Lake Tahoe, and he's been playing in that for the last 3 or 4 years. And had finished second and third in that a couple times, and so he's been trying seeking his first pro win. And let's put that in air quotes, first pro win. And so won that, and I caught up with Joe. My main question for him from a hockey perspective, and I put this in the story, is like, obviously he misses it, right? You played. I mean, if you think about it, since he was a 17-year-old and he left,
sure,
and he left his hometown in high school hockey to go play for Lincoln, I think, in the USHL. He's been on a hockey junior college at a pro hockey schedule for 23 years of his life. So
yeah,
first time he's, so obviously it's impossible not to miss it, but he made the right choice. That's what that's the big thing that I took away from it, where he's happy with his choice. He gets to coach his son, Nate, be a little bit more involved in coaching his son's team. He gets to work on his golf game. He's got a couple other tournaments he's already entered for later this year that he's aiming to win. And I think he'll continue to show up here in time and time again in the Stars universe. But I think Joe Pavelski, you kind of get the feeling Joe Pavelski has moved on to the spot of life where he's finding out about life outside of hockey and he's enjoying it. And to me, that's the, that to me is the, my biggest takeaway from a hockey perspective,
yeah,
where he's, Joe Pavelski's happy with his decision. He's not regretting anything. And he's getting to be a good coach for the U14 Madison Capitals now.
I mean, his reputation of amazing head on his shoulders and what he did, mm-hmm, for Sharks players and Stars players, as far as going to their room and talking to them about being in big moments and don't get too down and stuff like that. The quote that he gave you, I definitely miss it. I think about it more now just because of what's coming up with the playoffs and stuff, but that's normal. But as you pointed out, Sean, I'll always probably miss it, but I made the right decision. It was time. You know, the interesting thing is the body clock. When I talk to some athletes, Sean, they tell me one of the issues is you get that needed rest that your body so desires. So right about this time, Joe Pavelski's probably feeling really good now, like those, yeah, sores are gone. And so you think, ooh, and I'm sure, like, in the head, you know, they're still, all right, one more run. But you know what? That's so smart of him. Got out at the right time. And I'm so glad that he's on the big stage. And he was on so many big moments that playing golf, and I know it's different, but he knows how to take out the crowd and just focus. Mm-hmm. So I was so glad you wrote that article, because we've talked about him throughout the season, and he's doing great. Okay, next subject. Puck moving defensemen. We yeah, take them for granted, I think, as we're, yeah, dealing with it right now for the Stars. And I appreciate Cody Ceci. I appreciate Esa Lindell. I do appreciate Liam Bischel and Ilya Lyubushkin, obviously. But when I see Thomas Harley almost logging 30 minutes, I'm like, ooh, this is gonna, yeah, be a, this is gonna be a tough one.
Yeah, it's one of those where Miro's loss is going to impact this team. And I think there's still going to be, we're going to learn a lot about Thomas Harley over the next 2 months. I do believe that, and I've spoken to some people from the Stars organization, and I believe that Miro is going to be back in time for the playoffs. I think I've heard internally there is a rough target of April 12th to 15th is the hope that he'd be healthy enough to play so he could get two or three regular season games in before playing in the playoffs. Think of how, like, remember, now not the Matt Zuccarello first game in Chicago where he broke his arm, but when Matt Zuccarello yeah, played the one regular season game at the game 82 of the regular season,
sure,
to kind of get up to speed for that first round series against the Predators. So picturing kind of a timeline like that for Miro, where he's going to be back for the playoffs, but Thomas Harley is going to carry a heavy, heavy load. And obviously it makes it even worse with Nils Lundqvist being, yeah, being out for the remainder of the season. That one really hurts. Like, he's someone who you feel for Nils. He'd been fighting through that all year, apparently, and been just trying to figure it out. And just finally it was too much. So it is, it's going to be a little of movement by kind of a committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the and I also would not be surprised, and I know Elliot Friedman has heard some things and said some things, and I don't know exactly what Elliot's heard, but a lot of it makes sense of the Stars looking to potentially subtract and add another piece on defense. And that naturally is it's Matt Dumba. At some point, it looked like the Stars are, and I've talked to some other people that the Stars are definitely have irons in the fire on trying to move Matt Dumba. I'm not going to pretend that a deal is imminent or there's great value for Matt Dumba. It's just internally that is what the Stars are looking at. Matt Dumba needs to be moved, and they need to find someone more of a profile that can actually move the puck a little bit more. As CeCe comes in, and I think CeCe's been fine the first two games, Gavin. I think he's been okay in that role. I think CeCe, I went through and watched some video on him this morning of his first two games. There's a couple tendencies that pop up to me about him that are going to be fine in a third pairing role. And I think for the playoffs, it's going to be fine. It's all about figuring out that in-between right now of bridging the gap to Miro being out. And you know what, Gavin? Maybe getting somebody who can move the puck a little bit more, not going to hurt in case Miro does falter or you get to take a penalty or whatever in the playoffs, right? So I'm watching Matt Dumba, but I'm seeing what happens there.
Interesting. Marcus Pettersson, who was traded from Pittsburgh to Vancouver, signed a 6-year, $33 million contract with the Canucks. That's an average salary of $5.5 million. And, you know, it's interesting. I look at defensemen and when they sign, and then I look at the amount for Thomas Harley because it's right around the corner. And if Marcus Pettersson's getting 5.5, which, you know, I think it's a fair deal, right around Esa Lindell level, then I'm interested to see what the market will be like when Harley's up soon.
Yeah, it's Harley is he went to the bridge and he kind of bet on himself, and obviously the Stars are a worse team with Miro out, but from Thomas Harley's bottom line, when it comes to Thomas Harley's bottom line, financially speaking, is going to be probably better because of Miro's injury. Or he at least has an opportunity to make it better because he can show a lot of things and he can push here. And the Pettersson one is an interesting, I don't know if a market setter is the right thing, but it's an interesting comp, especially with we see all these numbers about the salary cap going up and what players are going to try to snag here going forward.
Haven't got your thoughts on the CeCe and Granlund trade. My thought, Sean, was right now I think it makes them better, and let's see what happens when you get everyone back in the fold.
I agree. I think Granlund definitely makes them better. Mm-hmm. I think Granlund he's a nice connector. He comes in and brings in a nice piece. To me, Granlund makes them better. I think CeCe makes them better on the third pair in the playoffs, and that's the key for me. I keep going back to that. People like, oh my God, you went and spent on Cody CeCe and everything like that. I think CeCe's not as bad as some people rip on him. He's not as good as some other people say. And I think he's an ideal 5-6 defenseman for a cup contending team. So if he's going to be in that role come playoff time, I think they're going to be in a good spot. So they're a better team today. They're a better team asset wise for the postseason today. Obviously they won't be a better team until Miro is healthy. The best version of the Stars has a healthy Miro playing, but they are better than they were the moment Mark Stone slammed into Miro's knee. The Stars are a better team from that moment right now, and they will be a better team in the playoffs because of it.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So with Miro going down, that leaves, as far as the Four Nations face-off is concerned, Ottinger, and then we have Granlund, we have Hintz. Who else? Am I missing somebody?
Well, Pete DeBoer is on staff.
Pete DeBoer's on staff.
And the other one, to kind of do a little tease for something coming up, I've got a story coming up next week over in D Magazine. Misa Donskov, the Stars assistant coach, is part of the Team Canada staff as well. Nice. He's kind of an unsung hero, and I'll have I won't give away too much of the story because I'm still writing it, but that story's coming out in D Magazine next week on what his role will be for Team Canada and what he does for the Stars and everything like that. So yeah, Granlund comes in, Joyce Finland with Hinland with Hintz and Lindell. I'm interested to see. I don't know if it'll work. I think they'll both play center at that tournament, so I don't know, but I'd be interested to see if Granlund and Hintz continue to like kind of build a little bit of chemistry in that tournament and see where things go, at least from a human element. I think it'll just kind of, I think that will help that trade move a little bit further. Also, I think CeCe and Granlund coming in from the same team, I think it can't be understated how much having another new guy can help from the exact same spot before it can help a guy.
And as I told someone the other day saying, like, why are they doing it during the season? Like the NBA does stuff in the off season. I said, well, they're not the NBA. To me, it features. And I think this is received more talk than any all-star game would, and I'm just crossing my fingers that injuries will not happen so it doesn't hurt their respective teams. But at the same time, I think it's a great showcase, and I think the players are going to go hard, and hopefully it gets a lot of
the other thing is, and this is why the NBA is different, it's the NBA basketball is a summer sport for the Olympics, so the NBA doesn't have to worry about the timeline. And this just called the Four Nations what it is. It is basically a deal that gets us to Olympic hockey for best on best Olympic hockey. The NHL owners don't want to give up their players for the Olympics from a financially speaking perspective. They don't see the direct dollar impact. So this Four Nations tournament is an NHL making money. It's an NHL event. So the owners get something here. And I think doing it in the summer really wouldn't. Honestly, I don't think if you did it in the summer, no one would care, Gavin, just to be kind of blunt about it, right? Like, if you did it after the Stanley Cup, it would be like, it just, to me, it would be, we have a world championship every spring. No one cares about them. I watch them because I'm a nut job and I like watching hockey at 2 o'clock before watching Stanley Cup playoff hockey that night. But like, if you did this during the summer, no one would care. So I think this is why it fits.
All right, two quickies for you before we let you go. NHL viewership on ESPN, TNT, a couple articles about that. Awful announcing says, truly dreadful. NHL games on ESPN and TNT hovered around 200,000 viewers, getting beat handily by other sports properties. I was kind of disappointed because, I mean, I think the TNT coverage has been fantastic. So I hate that, you know, these articles are coming out about this.
Yeah, viewership's also a weird one, too, where people get all wrapped up into viewership. And I know, Gavin, you know better than I do, like, viewership numbers matter and
bad
everything
science.
Like that. Well, yeah, they do matter, but it's also the point of viewership's also, I think there's so many contextual clues that need to be brought in on things that sometimes just kind of get thrown out there. So NHL viewership numbers, to me, they went up a little bit last year, and it's, people aren't going to like this, Gavin, because it's just, the reality is, part of the reason that the viewership numbers down is Connor Bedard hasn't been good. And I don't like to be like, I don't want to, like, last year, like,
great point,
how many people watch Chicago games last year to watch Connor Bedard? Hey, this kid's going to be this kid's going to be the next McDavid, he's going to be the next Gretzky, and he's getting heralded like that, and he hasn't lived up to the early hype. And so the Bedard's first ever NHL game was one of the most watched non-Stanley Cup final games in like 35 years. Yeah. And when all of a sudden that kid's not living up to the hype, like, a lot of it's tied to that. Local viewership, though, is still strong across the NHL, just as far as how things go. Like, I don't have the exact numbers for every market, but I talk to people, and I know that as far as local markets go, teams are doing well. The Stars numbers on Victory Plus are doing very well. I know the Stars haven't given out specifics and games and stuff like that, but when I've written about it and when I've been able to needle Brad Alberts for a little more than he wants to give, I've been told the numbers are really good. The other markets are really good, like in market.
That's great.
The problem, Gavin, is with hockey, and I don't know if problem is the right word, but it's with hockey. The thing is, it's such a regional sport, right?
Yeah.
It is such a tribal regional sport.
Sure where is.
You're a Stars fan. There's not many league wide fans. You could say like, hey, I care about this across the league, but you don't necessarily. A lot of the hockey viewing profile is you watch your team. You watch your team until their season's over. Like, and I've talked to people from the NHL about this before, where one of the things the NHL is trying to battle is, like in the NBA, Gavin, people, you typically get, the typical NBA fan will watch the NBA finals no matter who's in it. That's kind of just the common profile of the NBA fan. The typical NHL fan will typically watch the playoffs until their team's out, and then is a little bit lukewarm on the Stanley Cup final just because it's such a tribal, fanatical sport. So you have more so of 32 different fan bases in the NHL than one NHL-wide fan base like you have in some other sports. Like, and it's not fair to compare anything to the NFL. That's the reason that I wouldn't bring anything up. Like, the NFL is just a complete different behemoth. So I see these numbers, and we talk about them one way or the other. I also go and I say, you know what? 200,000 people watching a sporting event, that's still a lot of people. Like, I know it's not a million, it's not what people might want it to be or whatever, but like 200,000 people watching a sporting event. And the other thing about maybe the dirty little secret that people don't like, but it's just the reality, is the hockey fan base tends to be slightly higher income, and that's just a reality. We're not going to lie about it. We're going to tell the truth on what it is. Like, hockey is a more expensive sport. There tends to be a little bit of a higher income fan base. And so I know I've talked to people who have worked in advertising before who they see a higher ROI on hockey than other sports because you can do that. And the advertisers are happy and seeing ROI and this, and the viewership numbers are they're fact, they're what they are, but they're not always what matters most, if that makes sense.
No, that does. And quickly, because we love when Spits and Suds listeners give us questions, and this one was for you specifically.
Okay.
Have there been any talk within the Dallas Stars organization regarding a jersey logo redesign? I think it's long overdue. Others have echoed these sentiments. Winter Classic design was good, so were these beauties, and it's a picture of Madonna with the white and the big stars with the big green star. I will say, I miss that Winter Classic jersey. I almost regret them using that for the Winter Classic because they can't use it anymore.
Yeah. Internally, the Stars really love their jersey and color scheme and logo. They also like I think the neons have really grown on people too. Like, I'll admit, when the neons first came out, I saw them and I was like, this is very Tron Legacy to me. This is very Tron Legacy. Yep. Like, what are we doing here? And then that's grown on me. So one of the things the Stars really love about their color scheme in jersey right now is the fact that, and this doesn't say they won't tweak something in the jerseys at some point, but right now, if you go into a bar, Gavin, and you turn on a TV or whatever, the NHL is such a red-blue league, right? And it's such a, and the Stars love their green color because it's so indicative of, like, hey, I know what that team is.
Good
point. If you turn on a TV and you see that color, you know, hey, it's a Stars game. You see black and yellow, it could be Pittsburgh or Boston. You see red, it could be Detroit. It could be a Chicago. It could be, you see blue, it could be a number of teams. It could be red could be a Florida or a Detroit. Like, you look at the TV, and I think Seattle did this with their color scheme as well. But like, you're like that. You see that color green, you're like, even if you're not a Stars fan, hey, it's who's Dallas playing. And that's a color thing, and that's a marketing tool the Stars absolutely love and aren't ever going to change. So could I see a jersey tweak at some point? Maybe. It's been about 10 years, 2014, I think, is when they rolled out of this, so about 11, 12 years now with this jersey. They're making money on the dark neon ones. to me, the one way to make it work, and I just don't know, and I do know things will be open up design-wise as things move on in the Fanatics deal. I would love to see a, could you find a way to bring back the full star design and do it right? When they did the reverse retro star design and they did it with the white, it was ugly, Gavin. Mm. It was ugly. It was ugly. It was ugly, and I hated it. They wasted such a good design.
The pure white.
Could you find a way to bring back that star design that they were wearing when they won the cup, do it on the new layout with the Fanatics jerseys, and could you do it with a and could you make it work where it's, you still keep the color scheme? If you could do that, I think you'd have a real winner. And maybe the other thing I'll push on the NHL, I think there's a good usage of having the classic jerseys and having this and having, like, I don't think you need 5 jersey options like the NBA does, but is there anything wrong with having 3 or 4? Like right now, the Stars do have the alternate, and maybe you throw another in there as well. I think that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
That would be really cool if they just said, okay, you're allowed to do one, you know, home, away, third jersey, and a classic jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Really, really cool. That is the greatness of Sean Shapiro. You can check out his article on Joe Pavelski by subscribing, and you get so much information. It's Shap Shots on Substack. He's got a new article coming out soon on D Magazine. He writes for EP Ringside as well. He's all over the place. You can find him at Sean Shapiro. You're a beast, sir. Thank you so much for the time, and hope that ice rink is still lasting outside.
It is. We had an ice storm here last night that kept the kids. We may, I don't know, our eagle-eyed listeners in the background may have heard a child singing in the background, because there's only so much we can do. When there's no school today. So, but this is always fun, Gavin. It's always fun chatting. We should actually do it this time. It was a little bad about our timing before World Junior, but we should actually try
Four
to
Nations.
Sit down and do a Four Nations preview.
Yes,
like either
week.
Monday or Tuesday
yes.
next week. I think
Love
that would be good. I talked to Jake Gensel on the phone yesterday I'm doing a freelance story for USA Hockey's website. Actually.
Awesome.
Jake Gensel, not Jake Ottinger. Jake Gensel is the only member of Team USA that has never represented Team USA before at the international level.
Wow.
So, like, I was talking to him a little bit about that.
Yeah,
and the,
special.
Like, he's 30 years old. Like, you think about that, right? Like, it's something where everyone else on this Team USA team has played for, whether it was World Junior, World Championship, something like that. Jake Gensel's never put on a Team USA jersey in a game that mattered. And so he gets to do that for the first time. And when they play Finland on Wednesday, I think it is. So it's we should Monday or Tuesday, Gavin. I'm saying it out loud on this, so you and I hold ourselves accountable and do it. So
that's great. You can find all this article information at Sean Shapiro. So that's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. We are rolling through February with lots of episodes, and thank you for being along for the ride. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until next time, enjoy the day, everyone.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.